Well, hello again. We're continuing our quest, our journey into the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. I thank God for the vision that He's given us of an end-time revival. He's given it through many vessels, through His Word, that there's going to be an end-time harvest where the former and the latter rain come together. Not really teaching it that way today. But He has said to us that this end-time harvest, this revival, this outpouring, however you want to describe it, this one is not going to be a revival of a few months or a few years. Well, unless the Lord comes. Because what He has said is once this revival begins to rage, it will last until He returns. Wow. We're believing for a minimum of a billion souls to be won into the kingdom of God in this time. And many years ago, he put us on assignment for this end time revival. I like to say it this way: He put a hook in your jaw with the truth years ago. And mainly through the teachings, or one of the ways was through the teachings of Pastor Dave Roberson. At least that's how he got me. And Pastor Dave would never lower the bar. No matter what we saw, and when I, even as I say this, now listen, Pastor Dave operated in power. I've seen many miracles through his ministry, but he also understood that there was much more available. Dave would say about himself, said, well, is this all there is? I mean, and of course we know there's not, because you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see how Jesus did it, and He healed them all. He healed them all. And I thank God for everything that we are seeing. I thank God for the miracles that do happen. But we're pressing into revival. And I and most of you are just narrowly focused on that. There's a thousand things that I could give my attention to. Every one of them would be good things. And I know God calls many people to other aspects of ministry. But for me, it's give me revival or give me death. I can't live for anything else. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John has to be restored in the earth. The words of Jesus are true, all of them, every one of them. When He says in John 14:12 that those that believe on Him, those that believe on Me, He said, the works that I do shall they do also, and greater than these, because I go unto My Father. And one aspect of that greater than these is that the seed was to be multiplied. Now, for the last 6 months of the previous year, he taught us methodically, took us about seeds and the vines and the fruit and so many different parables that He taught. But the conclusion comes down to something like this. How did God design seeds? You can look at nature and see what God intends. You take one seed of any kind of crop. Let's just stay with corn. I'm very familiar with corn, being raised in Oklahoma. We have a lot of corn crops. You take one little kernel of corn. Everybody's seen one. Why do you plant that little seed of corn? Why? Are you hoping to plant it, nurture it, grow it, and at when it's fully mature, you open up the little husk and you find one seed just like the one that you planted? Well, what a waste of time. You already had the one. You already had the one. See, that's what Jesus was saying about Himself. He was the only human vessel on the planet at that moment that had the life of God within Him. He was the seed of life, if you'll allow me. He was the only human vessel on the planet through whom the Father could work at that moment, because He was the only vessel, the only seed, where the Father was dwelling by His Spirit on the inside of Him. Remember, He always said, it's the Father in me. He's the one that's doing the works. So here's the seed. And He said, if I just stay alone, if it's just me, if I'm the only one, I'm just the only one. But He says, listen, any seed, when you plant it into the ground, it dies. But listen, then it produces much fruit. And we see that in nature. I'm going to say it again. Why do you plant that seed? It's not to just come back with a single seed that can do the same. No, you intend to plant that seed and reap a harvest of many seeds, each and every one of them able to do exactly what the first seed did. Now that is John 14:12. He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. There's an image in that seed, and that image is Christ in his fullness. Christ is the express image of God. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and him has been planted in you. And there is an image, and he intends to come to harvest, to full harvest within us. I mean, he is already at full harvest himself, but to come to full harvest in us, so that we are the seeds that produce. He's able to, let's say it another way, he's able to do through us exactly what he was able to do through his own body, because now we are his body. Anyway, I'm summarizing a lot of things. Now, we're coming up to today's lesson, and I put some notes down on a sheet of paper, mainly some verses, because in my prayer time, right at the beginning of the year, I began hearing a series of verses, and then highlights, like in that verse, a certain part of it. And if you might want to follow along with these, the first one is John chapter 18 and verse 38. And this is when Jesus was being brought to trial before Pilate. Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And that's it. I just what I heard. You know, what is truth? The next one I heard, and see, that's a good question. What is truth? See, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, what is truth? We're going to talk about that today. Now, the next one I heard, I'm just minding my own business, spending time with the Lord. The first one I heard was John 18:38, what is truth? The second one was John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But particularly what I heard out of it, now the first one that I heard was, what is truth? And in this verse, I heard it this way, "I am the truth." Well, what is truth? I am the truth. Okay. All right. Jesus is the truth. Okay. All right. And then I heard John 17:17, which says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Now, here's what the emphasis was on. Thy word is truth. Let's put these together so far. What is truth? Jesus says, "I am the truth." But then Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Well, what does the Bible say about Jesus? In the beginning was the Word. This is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. A little further down it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the Word. The Word is truth. That's why he says, "I am the truth." Yes, sir. Now, believing the truth, see, our little verse there, John 14:12, says, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do," etc. But it starts off with, "He that believeth on me." Let me say it another way. He that believes the truth. See? I heard something this week I'd never really heard before. We all, you know, doubting Thomas. We all, you know, we none of us want to be doubting Thomas, you know. But see, really, doubting Thomas, he says, I'm not going to believe that Jesus is risen from the dead until I put my hand in that place in the side where they pierced him, as I see where the prints in his palm where they nailed him to the cross. I'm not going to believe. And we know what happened. The Lord appeared and told him, well, okay, touch me, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones like I have. And then, see, Thomas didn't believe until he saw with his five physical senses. Boy, that's dangerous. See, we've been through this many times. We'll get to it here again maybe later today. But many times we've gone back to, see, believing what you see with your five physical senses instead of believing the Word of God is exactly, that's exactly the mistake, the sin that Adam committed. God had said, you'll surely die. If you eat the fruit of that tree, the same day you eat of it, you'll surely die. And in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent says, no, you won't. You will not surely die. No, God's actually holding out on you and so forth. And he finally convinced him to do it. But see, the part that it took a long time for me to see, Adam was there with Eve while the serpent was beguiling her. Adam was there because he said he was with her. He watched her. He watched her partake of that fruit. He watched her partake of it. And he's watching to see what happens because God said she'll die. The serpent said she won't die. Somebody's lying here. Who is it? Who is it that's telling me the truth? See, what is truth? We're back to that question. Well, Adam's watching, and he watches Eve eat from the fruit, whatever it was. She takes another bite. She's standing there. She hasn't fallen down dead. He made a decision. He judged. He became a judge. Who was telling the truth? We got a trial going on. God and the serpent, in a way. Who is one says she'll die? One says the other. Satan says she won't die. Who's telling the truth? And he made his decision based on his five physical senses. His five physical senses could not perceive that, you know, he didn't understand spiritual death. I don't know. I don't think so. All I know is he was watching. He was with her. And she ate of that fruit. And he's watching and she didn't fall down dead. This is why it was such a sin. This is why it was such treason. Based on his five physical senses, based on what he could see, smell, touch, feel, hear, based on all, you know, five physical senses, he decided, God is not telling me the truth. See, the subject today is what is truth. He says, you can't trust God's word. She didn't die. Serpent, he must be telling the truth. It was treason, I'm telling you. It was treason. And he said, so when Eve turned and offered that fruit to her husband who was with her, he was with her. He made the decision. You can't trust God's word. Based on what I see, based on what I feel, based on what I perceive here by my five physical senses, I'm telling you, you can't trust God's word. Well, boy, that was the way out of the Garden of Eden. That was the way out of paradise. That was the way out of all the blessings of God. But worst mistake mankind ever made was right there. See, Thomas doesn't know it, but he's making the same mistake. I'm not going to believe until I see it with my eyes, touch him with my hands, five physical senses. Boy. Then the Holy Spirit said it to me this way. I hadn't really heard it this way until this week. See, because we're talking about those that believe on me, Jesus said. The works that I do, shall they do also. And I heard it this way about Thomas, about unbelief. He said, unbelief is a form of pride. Unbelief is a form of pride. See, Adam had God's word, but then he made himself the judge of God's word. When you say it that way, it sounds awful. And he made himself the judge by using his five physical senses. I will decide what is truth. Oh God, it is pride, isn't it? Adam, I will decide what is truth. I will decide who's lying and who's not lying based on what I see, touch, feel, smell, based on my physical senses. See, right now I'm seeing the little two-dimensional creature again. You know, God uses him all the time. For those that may not have heard, pretend there's a universe like a sheet of paper, and in that universe there is no height. All they know is length and width. That's all they know. They can't even think the concept of height or depth. It's totally foreign to them. And everything is fine. They can navigate in their universe. They can go forward, backward, left, and right until somebody puts down an obstacle in their way. And I used to put down a hula hoop when I'd teach this in the churches. I'd take a hula hoop and I'd lay it down. I said, now what if someone puts a circle right around this little creature in his universe, and he keeps bumping up against it, and he goes, I can't get past this. This is an impossible problem. I go forward and I bump against it. I go backward and I bump against it. I go left, I bump against it. I can't get out. You know, you can say, it's a stronghold. It's impossible. This poor little creature in his two-dimensional world, and all he can think is forward, backward, left, and right. He can't even think jump. Now, if we, as a higher dimensional creature, like the three-dimensional, if we're somehow watching this poor little creature in his trapped in his little world, he could like pray, what is the answer? And we know the answer. We would say to him, jump. The answer is jump. Jump over the circle. But see, in his universe, he can't even think that. Even though jump is part of truth, it is possible to jump, not to him. He can't even think that. He can hear it even. And he still can't think it. It's like, what? What? Jump? That makes no sense to me at all. See, and the only hope for him, we would have to reach down with our hand somehow from our higher dimensional universe, scoop the little creature up, set him over this hula hoop, set him down on the other side, and then he's free. It's a miracle. Can't you just... He's writing books. He's getting rich now in his universe. It's a miracle. I was trapped, and then this invisible hand came, and suddenly I was outside. And we're going, oh, brother, you know, this is... We're just operating by truth that he doesn't know. He doesn't know the truth. Now, getting back to Thomas... Getting back to us, our problem is we're still committing the same sin of unbelief by judging what truth is based on our five physical senses. Instead of listening and obeying the Holy Spirit, he's trying to lift us up out of all of our circles, all of our hula hoops, all of our strongholds. He's trying to lift us up and set us down on the other side. Oh my goodness, I'm way ahead of myself. But see, it's not just a form of pride, really. It's really pride. Gary has made this same mistake maybe thousands of times. What is truth? What is truth? Am I sick or am I healed? It's no doubt. I did a message years ago called Truth Changes Fact, and it's still the truth today. See, a fact may be you're sick. I mean, you have all the symptoms. Let's take that woman with the issue of blood. Now, here she had... The facts were... We don't ever deny the facts. The facts were she was sick. She had this issue of blood. She'd had it for 12 years. Now, anytime you have something a long time, boy... It gets harder and harder. Harder. It just becomes stronger of a stronghold, if that's good grammar. A strong stronghold. And she'd been to the doctors. It's not like she didn't want to be healed. Said she'd spent all that she had on doctors. Yet grew worse. Whoops, excuse me. Then she heard of Jesus. Oh, I keep hearing this phrase, the man of truth. See, Jesus is the man of truth. Jesus is the man that came from the higher dimension. The Word dwelt among us. the truth came. He is the man from truth who came to show us truth, and then who came to rebirth us so we become people of truth. But we have to believe the truth and not be like Doubting Thomas, always being the judge of what truth is based on our five physical senses. Boy, that was really said well. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Gary's not that smart. Jesus is the man of truth. He came from truth to show us truth. See, everything, when you see Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is the seed, but he intends through his finished work to produce many seeds. He is the firstborn of many brethren. His, the faith of the Son of God. Last week we talked a little bit, Galatians 2:20, right near the end of it, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Well, what's the faith of the Son of God? See, when Jesus was on that cross, the joy, part of the joy that was set before him, he is the seed who's going to go fall into the ground and die. But when this process is over, when he's finished doing his finished work, and then he's glorified and seated at the right hand of God, it becomes possible now for that seed to reproduce himself, like every seed does, into many seeds, and each one of those seeds able to do what the original did. You know that's the truth, and God preaches this to us every harvest season. Everything in nature functions this way. Every seed produces many seeds. You know, I was thinking one time, you know, I could have built an apple empire from my dad's tree that he planted up there in, around Grand Lake, Oklahoma. He planted several of those apple trees, and for 40 years, those trees produced, I mean, every season. You plant one little seed, you get a whole tree that produces hundreds, at least hundreds of apples, and in each apple are many seeds. And if you wanted to, you could take each one of those seeds and plant another tree. After just a few years, you better have some land, because you're going to have so many apple trees producing apples that have seeds that each one of them can produce a whole tree. I mean, God's plan is amazing. But we don't ever think about that when it comes to the gospel. That is exactly the gospel. That is exactly John 14:12. Those that believe on me, the works that I do shall they do also, and greater than these shall they do. He's talking to them. Yeah, we're the apples. The seed has been reproduced in us. We're the seed now. When the image that's in the seed comes to full maturity, Christ in us, it's going to produce exactly the same thing that it's always produced. But we've got to believe it. Those that believe on me. We're talking about the believing part today. The believing part today. Hallelujah. All right. We get back to, we didn't quite finish the little lesson he was giving me that day, right near the first of the year. Started off John 18:18. I'm just going to read the highlighted parts. John 18:38. What is truth? John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the truth. John 17:17, Jesus says, Father, thy word is truth. Well, Jesus is the word. Jesus is the truth. But then he says this in Matthew 4:4. I heard this one. I'll read the whole thing first. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How I heard it was this: man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's living by truth. Father, thy word is truth. Jesus, you are the truth. How do I live? I want to live by truth. Today we're not going to get into 3 John, but 3 John says, I have no greater joy than to know and to hear that my disciples walk in the truth. Amazing. He wants us to walk in the truth, just like Jesus walked in the truth. See, God's been teaching us the truth for a long time. And again, we feel like we're almost like archaeologists digging for truth. And the truth has always been the truth, but it's been like we've had 2,000 years of trash, false doctrine, false understandings, man deciding what is truth, piled up on top of these original foundation stones, like the original pathway that was laid out by Jesus and the first apostles. There's been like 2,000 years of trash, and nobody knows where the path is anymore, so nobody can walk in truth. But we're like archaeologists digging down like they do through 2,000 years of false doctrine, 2,000 years of lies, and you know. And then you discover a truth. Oh, I found one. Oh, Jesus is the truth. I discovered this. And we feel like we've been like that for years, but I believe we're about to expose the path now where we can literally walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. He that believes on me. See? He that believes on me, no longer can we be the doubting Thomas. To his credit, thank God, he believed without touching him. He didn't actually touch Jesus when Jesus appeared and told him, touch me. I can't see where he ever touched him. He said, Lord, I believe, my God and my Lord, you know. But he did have to see him. See, and there was the problem. He said, well, you're blessed because you have seen and believed, but blessed, more blessed are those that had believed without needing to see. That's us. We're the generation. Adam should have believed without having to see. Adam should have held to God's word no matter what his five physical senses told him. God said, the day that we eat thereof will surely die. I don't care what my eyes tell me. I see Eve eating the fruit of that tree. I see her still standing there. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I feel. God's word is true. And what mattered was his obedience. See, sin really isn't laid to the charge of Eve. It's laid at the feet of Adam. Said Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. He made a decision, fully conscious decision himself, choosing to believe. I'm going to say it this way first. Choosing to believe what his five physical senses told him. Elevating that above what the Word of God said. And here's another way of saying it. When you believe what your five physical senses tell you instead of God's Word, you're also believing a lie. And that means you're believing what the devil's saying. Oh, man. How did Satan become the god of this world, little g? The Bible says he is the god of this world, little g. How did that happen right there at the garden? When Adam rejected the word of God and chose to believe what his five physical senses told him? If that's how you're going to live, then you're going to live under the domination of the god of this world, little g, Satan. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Not what my five physical senses will tell me facts. All right, I see the woman with the issue of blood. We never finished the story, did we? Thank you, Holy Ghost. So this woman with the issue of blood, she had done everything that she knew to do. Here we go. She is like, you know, she's a three-dimensional creature. You know, we think we know what truth is. We're not like the guy in the two-dimensional world. We live in a three-dimensional world. We know what length, width, and height and depth is, vertical. But see, where God is from, we're a three-dimensional creature in natural. Where God is from, what dimension is that? 12th, 50th? You talk about where he's from, all things are possible. I still remember from engineering class, they were teaching us about dimensions, mathematics. A lot of it's right at the edge of what I can even comprehend, you know. And they were saying, if there was somehow a person that could come from the fourth dimension, like a doctor, if you could be, let's say you had an appendix, you needed your appendix removed. Here, we have to cut you open in a three-dimensional world. We have to cut you open and remove that appendix, right? A person, they said, just from the fourth dimension, would be able to remove that appendix out of you without ever cutting you. I don't totally understand that. The mathematics that they use to prove it proves it, but it's way above this lesson, and I could barely comprehend it at the time, you know. But that was from just the fourth dimension. Mathematically, even when I was in school, which was a spell back, they'd already proved there was at least 11 dimensions. But good Lord, where is God from? What dimension, if we knew a number, what dimension is that? No wonder he says all things are possible. If somebody just from one dimension higher, a surgeon, could remove your appendix without cutting you open, we'd go, it's a miracle. And it would be for us. But for that person from the fourth dimension, it'd be like, we do this every day. This is just how we function. And this is what, you know, the working of miracles, they are miracles to us in the three-dimensional realm. To God, it's just like, this is what I do. This is not even hard. Boy, if we get that. See, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How would Adam have done that? I ain't eating that fruit. I don't care what I see. I don't care what my wife tells me. I don't care what that serpent says. I don't care. I can still smell her. She's telling me to eat it. Sure, everything that my five physical senses are telling me is telling me God's word isn't true, but it is true. What if Adam would have lived by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Well, what had proceeded was, don't eat the fruit of that tree. And he should have done that. Gary, what would be the result today? We'd all be still in the garden. Well, anyway, what is truth? Thy word. Let's do it again. What is truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. But then right in the next one, he says, Father, thy word is truth. Well, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Thank God, Jesus said, I don't do anything but what I see my Father doing. Jesus is the word of God with legs. He is the living word. He is the word we can see. And then Matthew 4:4, the way I heard it in this lesson, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yes, sir. I see the woman. So let's finish with the woman with the issue of blood. He wants me to finish that. Well, now she's given up. She has no more hope in the natural. She's already been to the doctors of her time, spent all of her money. When you're out of money and you're out of doctors, it's amazing. We don't go to God until we've exhausted all of the resources in the natural realm. Thank God she heard of Jesus. Somebody told her about Jesus. Please be faithful to share your witness. You don't have to be called. I mean, there's many evangelists. I have good friends that are pure blood evangelists. I like how Alan says it. A pure blood evangelist will always kind of put you under condemnation. What are you doing in here studying about the truth? We got lost people right down here on the street right now. They'd rip John 3:16 out of your Bible and go, this is all you need. You know, that's a pure blood evangelist. Let's go win the lost. Well, and there's a place for that. There is a calling of an evangelist, but there's also the calling of a teacher. I am a teacher. I've tried that. And you know, anyway, don't want to get off on that. A woman with the issue of blood. Somebody told her about Jesus, the truth. Somebody told her there is a man of truth. Let's say it that way. You have facts, lady. The facts are, you have this issue of blood. The Bible doesn't deny that. You have this issue of blood. You've had it for 12 years. You've been to the doctors. You spent all your money. And those doctors, they couldn't help you. Actually, you're worse now than you were when you started. That's facts. But someone told her about truth. Someone told her about the man of truth. There is a man who has come from the truth to bring us the truth. If you can get to this man of truth, truth will change your facts. God, my feet are wanting to run. Woo, I could goosebumps. Whoa, the man of truth has come from the truth to bring us the truth. and truth will change your facts. But notice she believed it. She kept saying, if you look it up in the Amplified or in your Greek, when it says, she said within herself, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. It's in a continuous, she kept saying that. She has become her own best preacher. She kept saying to herself, if I can just touch the hem, all I need to do is just touch the hem of his garment. And there's a reason she thought that. It has to do with their understanding of the priest and the robe and so forth. But she's thinking, if I can just, I've heard of this man of truth. I've heard of this man of truth. And if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Now, from my understanding, it was illegal for her, having an issue of blood, to even go out in public at the time under Jewish law. I'm not an expert. That's what I've been told. I believe that's probably true. Sometimes it takes a little boldness. Sometimes you gotta, it takes a little daring do. You gotta get a little courage, you know. But she's set out to touch the hem of his garment, came up behind him. I've tried to picture what it was like. We know there was a throng of people. Jesus is just walking through the village, and there's a throng of people on all sides touching him. You can read that in the very passage itself. So I see her, you know, elbowing her way gently, I'm sure, but making her way closer and closer, coming up behind him is the way I see it. And it says, finally, she got close enough, and she touched him. But she touched him believing. She kept saying it to herself, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She's preaching to herself. This is one of the reasons we teach confession and meditating the word of God, and say it again to yourself. Preach it, preach it, preach it. Because when she touched him by faith. And the Bible says immediately there was, in the King James it says virtue, but the Greek word there is dunamis. It's raw dynamite power. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the Father doing the works by his Spirit. There was a flow of power from inside of Jesus into her body. And instantly, oh, I'm looking forward to some instantlies. Instantly, her body was made whole. And Jesus, now the man, we're talking about the man, the house of God, as we've been talking, that the tabernacle with legs, the temple of God, wherever he went, he is the temple of God, and God lives on the inside of him. He could feel, he could perceive somehow the flow of power. He knew, he could perceive power flowed from the inside of him into somebody. But the natural man, Jesus, now, say natural, shouldn't say that word, the natural side of him, the part of him, the man, he's son of man, son of God. And he didn't allow himself privileges over in his divinity because he came to show us how a spirit-born man and a spirit-anointed man is to function. But anyway, that's another lesson. Anyway, he knew power went out of him, but he didn't know who it went into. He's not kidding when he said, who touched me? And the disciples are going, there's all these people thronging and about you, and many people are touching you. What do you mean? Who touched you? But see, Jesus knew someone touched him believing. Someone touched him with faith. And when they did, power flowed from truth into this woman, and truth changed her facts. Shazam. Wow. Whew. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is truth. And Jesus is, those that believe on me, I'm going to keep saying it, those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall they do also, and greater than these. We see a very similar thing. I see it with Peter walking down the street, and word had got out that if you just get within shadow length of this man, Peter. Now we're talking, see, this is, now Peter's after Jesus has been glorified. Peter is one of the seeds now that's been produced. Christ is in him now. And they said, if you can just get your sick person, your person that's possessed with an unclean spirit, if you can just get them within shadow length of Peter, they will be healed. And it says they brought people from even the cities round about, laid them on cots and had them there in the street. If they just hoping that the shadow of Peter, there's no magic in the shadow. If you get within shadow length, if you get that close to Peter, it says that they were all healed, all of them. Holy cannoli, we've got the same thing. We've got a seed, and we all know Peter. We love Peter because Peter wasn't perfect, you know. Anyway, but boy, his faith in Christ in him was perfect. The power of God. Peter is a seed produced by the seed. Peter is one of the results of the original seed going into the ground and dying in order that it could produce much fruit. And now here is Peter, the power of God emanating from him. It's like, can't you just see that? It's like the Ark of the Covenant coming through. It's the temple. It's the tabernacle in the wilderness. The power, if you just get within shadow length, the woman with the issue of blood, her faith was, if I can touch his garment, I don't even have to touch him, just touch his garment, I'll be whole. But with Peter, their faith was, if we get close enough, we're within shadow length, we'll be healed. And anyone we bring will be healed. If that's not a perfect image of those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall they do also, and greater than these, shall they do? Well, part of that greater is like my dad planted one apple seed that had life in it, one apple seed. But then it produced a tree that produced many apples, and each apple containing many seeds, all able to do what the original seed did. Good Lord. We see Peter doing the same things where they were all made whole. Read it for yourself in the book of Acts. They were all made whole. And they would bring them even from other towns as word spread. And they were all healed. They were all made whole. Oh my goodness. No wonder revival raged during that first 100, 200 years. And not only in Jerusalem, but everywhere that they were spread. The gospel raged. Oh my goodness. Well, I hadn't even got through. Good Lord. Dave used to talk about the lion clock. I think I'm going to have to talk to this watch about lying to me. It can't be that late. Okay, we're still not through. I kept hearing a little more now, a little bit more from on that day. I'm going to go through the sequence again. John 18:38, what is truth? John 14:6, I am the truth, Jesus says. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. So thy, the Father. Father, thy word is truth. Well, Matthew 4:4, man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then here's the last one. That's John 8:31-32. So I'll give you just a moment. John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now notice that. Those Jews which believed on him, if you believe. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now this is there was emphasis put on certain words. So let me read it that way. John 8:31-32. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, earlier in that same chapter, John 8:12, which I didn't write on here, Jesus said, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness, for they shall have the light of life. And he just got through the episode that just finished right before that was the woman caught in the act of adultery. And you know that whole story, how it ended. Go and sin no more. Of course, God had always, even through the law, been saying, go and sin no more. The problem was man couldn't help it, really. I mean, he could resist sin to a certain point, but man was a sinner at his core. He had to be rebirthed as a creature of truth. Well, there's a phrase. A creature of truth. Adam, after the fall, could only produce fallen creatures. You know, every seed, when you have fruit of any kind, and we can go all the way back to Genesis 1, but see, God made every fruit has the seed within the fruit. Well, and the seed within the fruit produces the image that's in that seed. Well, once Adam fell, he is a sinner by nature. He's gone from light to darkness. He's gone from righteousness in his nature to sinner by nature. And so when the seed comes from Adam and joins with Eve to produce offspring, it reproduces fallen creatures, because that's what Adam and Eve are now. And the seed that comes from within them produces like kind. Well, it doesn't produce spiritually alive creatures. It produces creatures that have death and sin by in their nature. And everybody born on planet Earth come from Adam and Eve, and all of them are born with that image, the image of a sinner on the inside of them, because the seed that produced them came from within the fruit of Adam and Eve, and that seed can only reproduce what they are. Well, they're sinners now. Sinners by nature. They're forgiven. God forgave them. Remember, he clothed them with animal skin. Well, where did that come from? Something innocent had to die. See, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And something innocent had to die in order for God to forgive them. Of course, that pointed to the cross, to the day when Jesus, the Lamb of God, would shed his innocent blood for us. Thank God for forgiveness. But going back to Genesis, even after that happened and something innocent died and God clothed them with the animal skin, that's a type and a shadow of Christ. But see, even that wasn't enough, because God says, well, you're forgiven, but you're still sinners by nature. This is not how I made you. I want you back the way that I originally made you. I want you made back in my image. I want you made like I originally made you, in the image of God. Oh, Genesis 1 emphasizes that. In the image of God created he him. In the image of God created he them. It's just so... God's original plan was man was to be made in the image of God. But now, through the sin of Adam, man is not at his core. He is not made in the image of God anymore. He is the fruit of fallen Adam and Eve. And the seed, the natural seed that produced each of us in our mother's womb, is a fallen seed. It's a corrupted seed. And we're all born sinners by nature. That's why you must be born again. You must be born of the incorruptible seed, Peter calls it. You must be born of God's Spirit. You must be reborn, rebirthed. See, and when you are reborn, the seed that produces that comes from Christ, who is the Word, who is alive. And the seed that's been planted in you now is not the image of fallen Adam and Eve. The image that's in that seed is Christ. Is Christ. That's who you really are. But it has to come to maturity. Christ doesn't grow up himself. He is fully mature, seated at the right hand of the Father. But the seed that came into you, that new man that's born in righteousness and true holiness. It says he's created in right. Ephesians chapter 4 will tell you that that new man, the moment you got born again, is created in righteousness and true holiness. But it has to grow up. Jesus said that seed, when it's planted, for a man plants the seed, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. But see, when the harvest is come, you gotta, the seed, it grows up. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. See, Smith Wigglesworth, I don't know if you know who that was, most of you do, Smith Wigglesworth died the same year I was born, 1947. I've always taken that to be a sign. I'm sorry. But anyway, he was, in his generation, he was called the man of faith. The man of faith. And he, boy, the miracles, cancers would just fall off on the floor. All, every kind of miracle you can think of. Well, they would ask him, what is the secret of great faith? And he always gave the same answer. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It's maturity. That image, you see, you've been reborn from a different seed. You're, the seed, the original seed that produced you was Adam and Eve. And that's everybody that's born from their mother's womb on planet Earth. But when you receive Jesus, you get reborn. You literally die to that other species. And you become of the species of Christ. And the seed, the Word of God that came into you and birthed you now has an image in it. And that image is Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. That's the image now that's in you. That's who you really are. And it has to come to maturity on the inside of us. And this is what we've been preaching for so long. What is truth? See, now we have to know that truth. And here's going to come the war. Okay. Are we going to believe the truth? Are we going to be doubting Thomas? I'm not going to believe till I see it. I'm not going to believe until I touch it. Well, you're not only doubting Thomas, you're also Adam in the garden. That's how the fall happened, was judging the Word of God by your senses instead of exactly the opposite. Your senses got to be judged by the Word of God. Let's just take a simple case. Again, okay, Lord, back to the woman with the issue of blood. He just keeps, I got to do it. She touched him. She touched him believing, though. She had convinced herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment. And she meditated on it till it finally it brought action. Faith is an act. She left her house. She pressed through the crowd. She come up somehow behind Jesus, undetected, and somehow she got close enough. She touched the hem of his garment. And when she did, power, because she touched him with faith, she touched him believing, power flowed from the inside of him into her. And it says, instantly, she was healed. Whew. Again, I'm looking forward to some instantlies, aren't you? Oh, my goodness. Instantly, she was healed. And Jesus could tell that power had flowed out of him. Power. He says, who touched me? And he's not kidding. He's not, he's not just doing it for teaching purposes. He didn't know who touched him. Boy, that goes to show you, it wasn't his, his faith was, the Father dwells in me to do the works. But it wasn't his faith that caused that flow. It was the woman's faith that touched him. She just touched him believing. And the power flowed. He goes, who touched me? And they're going, well, so many people are crowded around and thronging you, and you're asking who touched you? But see, Jesus knew somebody touched him by faith. Finally, the woman confesses, okay, it was me, I touched you, I've had this plague for... She tells the whole story. And he tells her, thy daughter, thy faith has made you whole. You know how crazy it sounds to the natural mind. If I just find this person and I touch the hem of his garment, let's say it in modern times, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made healed. That sounds crazy to the natural mind. Here we go. To the two-dimensional creature, in our case, to the three-dimensional creature. What? No. What? I've already been to the specialists. I've been to the highest clinics in the land. I've spent all my money on these doctors. And you're telling me about Jesus, that if I just touch the hem of his, if I just touch his clothes, I can be healed? Yeah, I'm telling you that. See, the natural Doubting Thomas mind, the natural mind would go, I'll believe that when I see it. Oh, how often do we say that? I'll believe that when I see it. No, that is the opposite of how the kingdom works. In the kingdom, blessed are those who believe, who have not seen. See, and I'm hearing this. I know we're getting close to the end. Right now I'm hearing Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, especially the part about prayer. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you shall have them. Well, I thank God for an instant manifestation like this woman got. Sometimes they're not always instant. Sometimes you got to believe, regardless of what your five physical senses tell you. And oh, my key. I got to be careful here because people, if they only hear a certain part of the message, they might act foolishly and could even die. See, I did that one time. At the time, I had an incurable heart disease called supraventricular tachycardia. And every now and then, I won't go into detail because we're just about out of time, but it's incurable. It's really the reason I had to leave driving the trucks, because you could just black out when that supraventricular tachycardia would cause my heart to beat a certain way. It would cause you to black out. Well, you can't be blacking out if you're driving an 80,000-pound rig down the highway, okay? That's just not okay. So, and it's incurable. They said, once you have it, you'll always have it. And they put me on this really strong medication that as long as I took it, it did seem to regulate the heartbeat. I didn't have any more blackout episodes. But then we had somebody come through our church and given his testimony. I got prayed for, and I forget exactly what was wrong with him, but anyway, I got prayed for, and I believed, and a healed man doesn't take his medicine. I poured my medicine into the toilet, flushed it down the toilet, and I've been healed ever since. So I heard that testimony of that man. I went home. And I flushed all my remaining pills down the toilet. I'm healed in Jesus' name, you know. And 7 days later, I had another one of those episodes and nearly died. Well, I'm totally confused now, see. I went to see Pastor Dave. Thank God for Pastor Dave. I'm going to end with this for today because we're talking about believing the truth. Believing the truth. Those that believe on me. Well, if you're going to believe on him, you're going to believe the truth because he is the truth. That means you're also going to believe the word of God, because thy word is truth. And that means you're going to believe it beyond what your five physical senses are telling you. So I went to Pastor Dave and I just told him what I did. I said, you know that guy that came through and gave his testimony, if a healed man doesn't take medicine, he threw away his medicine. I did that same thing, Dave, and I nearly died. What's wrong with me? What's going on? Bless Dave, you know, bless God for Pastor Dave. And he just leaned back in that chair and he says, well, Gary, your problem is you don't do your own preaching. I said, what? He said, listen, God is not obligated to manifest healing in your body because you threw your medicine away. God is obligated to manifest your healing the instant you believe it. And the problem is you don't believe it. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. He says, what you need to do, he said, get that prescription refill, take the medicine exactly like they tell you. But every time you take that medicine, take two or three or four healing scriptures and say them out loud every time you take that medicine. And what's happening when you do that, it's building faith in you, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I'm simplifying because I really don't want to run too much over today. So I did it. Thank God, you know, if you got a pastor you trust, please do what the pastor tells you. So I got the prescription refilled, and at first I had to take it four times a day, this medicine. So I got me some healing verses, you know, my favorites. Dave didn't tell me which ones, and it's up to you. It's the ones that speak to you. I remember one of them was, "By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed." Another one was, "I will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you." And there were two or three others. And every time I took a dose of the medicine in the natural, I would say those verses out loud. What am I doing? I'm doing a similar thing to what the lady with the issue of blood did. I'm saying it over and over again on the inside of me, saying it over and over again. And as I did that, now it was slow. This whole process took 2 years from the time that I started that after talking to Pastor Dave until the time that the healing was manifested. It took 2 years. It doesn't have to take that long. I know now a big reason why it took that long. But even with my unperfected understanding at the time, it worked. I kept speaking those verses every time. And I began receiving instructions from the Holy Ghost. And over a 2-year period, he weaned me off of that medicine. Till finally, 2 years later, he says, "You don't need to refill it again. You're healed. You'll never have that again." And now it's been, that I know when that was. That was May of 1998. This is January of 2003. Can you tell I didn't die? And I've never taken another dose of that medicine. And even when I go in, you know, I've had some heart issues this last year on a different level. And when they would do tests on me, they go, "You know, your chart shows that you had supraventricular tachycardia, but we don't find any evidence of it now." And I get to tell them that my pastor prayed for me, and I believed God's word, and Jesus healed me. And I've been healed ever since. And they have to just sit there and listen. I do it real nice, because science today still says that is an incurable heart disease. But I'm cured anyhow. I'm cured anyhow. I think that's pretty, you know, May of 1998 till January of 2023. That's a spell. That's a pretty good while. And I'm still healed today. Listen, those that believe on me, now he's working. He's been teaching us truth for a long time. But knowing the truth and believing the truth are two different things. It's time to believe the truth. Time to believe it. Those that believe on me, it's time to really believe. No longer doubting Thomas's, but living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Oh, hallelujah. Can't hardly wait. I just want to jump into next week's right now. All right. Praise God. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.